2 Corinthians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have in a free nation to come and hear your Word preached. God, thank you for the health to be here today. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us this morning. But God, now we want to come to a time when the preacher of God stands up and opens up your Word and preaches it to us. Help us to hear what he has to say this morning. And then, Father, have the courage and strength and faith to obey what it says. God, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, save from their sin, give them eternal life, I pray they'd trust Jesus Christ before they leave this room today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to make sure your cell phones and electronic devices are either turned off or vibrate. Check those, please. We have each seat wired this morning to 900,000 volts. And it's set sensitively, so if it goes off, your cell phone goes off, you will be electrocuted and drug out of here, smoldering carcass and all. And so help us, would you please, and make sure that they're turned off. Wouldn't it be nice to go through a whole service and not hear a cell phone? Wouldn't it be nice to hear, not have to listen to someone talk on their cell phone who doesn't have to use one? I was in the airport the other day flying back from Nashville or where it was, and this lady was talking on her cell phone. You could hear her four terminals over. I wanted to go up to her and tell her, just put the phone down. They can hear you. Wherever they are, trust me, they can hear you. It's not a problem. So till then, help us there and sit still, listen very carefully, would you please? We've been, these last several Sunday mornings, we've been trying to understand God. Well, that's a big project. But I believe we don't, because we don't understand God, and because we make the God that we want, we're God makers nowadays. We're creating God in our own image instead of us being created in the image of God. We've got somewhere or another in America, we've got this thing turned around. And you tell people, well, this is what God is like, and they go, not my God. My God's not like that. Well, if it's according to the Bible, that's his book, and that tells us who he is, and it is the way God is. And understanding God, we've talked about understanding God's working, how God works in our lives and the lives of those around us. We talked about understanding the love of God. We talked about understanding the faithfulness of God. We talked about understanding the justice of God. This morning, I want to talk to you about that attribute of God that stands between heaven and hell. It's the attribute of God that stands between God's judgment and wrath and his love and forgiveness. See, we can't be both, Pastor Johnson. You can't be a God of judgment and wrath and a God of love and forgiveness. Yes, he can. Yes, he is. And that's how God... Listen now, this attribute this morning, it's the attribute, ladies and gentlemen, that's between God's patience and God saying, I'm going to do something now. The attribute of which we're going to speak this morning is this tremendous, unbelievable attribute of God. It stands between chastisement and God's patience with your life. And the attribute is the mercy of God. You see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible said he is the Father of mercies. So it's more than just an attribute of God that he's merciful and that he extends mercies. It's more than that. He's the Father of it. That means he originated it. Started with God. It's literally a part of who he is. That he's a merciful God this morning. Now You need to listen to this preacher. You say, oh, yeah, well, that means he puts up with a lot of stuff. No, you know what mercy is. You're going down the freeway. You're not paying attention to how fast you're going. Suddenly you look up and there he is. Faithful servant doing his job. And you look down at your speedometer and you think, uh-oh, he got me. Let your foot off the gas. Now, if you're like most of us, you drive down the road, you see a policeman, you take your foot off the gas. You don't even look at the speedometer. You just automatically take your foot off the gas. That means you drive too fast, and we won't talk about that this morning. But he doesn't pull out and pull you over. You know what you just got? You got mercy. That's mercy, friend. When I was in Kentucky preaching last week, the pastor there is a chaplain with the local police department, also a chaplain with the fire department. That's a small town in Kentucky. They're in Murray, Kentucky. Beautiful little place. And we were driving down the road, and he says, oh, I'm a chaplain with the police department. I'm a chaplain with the fire department. He pulls out a little badge that says chaplain on it. He goes, that's my get-out-of-free-jail card. He says, boy, I've never had to use it, but I'll tell you what, that'll help me. And they says, no, I'm not going to be a lawbreaker, and I'm going to be, you know, and we're talking, all that. Next thing you know, state troopers coming this direction. We're going that direction. And he was going too fast. And that trooper pulled around, pulled him over. And I thought, good thing you got a get out of jail free card, huh? Yes. He never even showed him the badge. He never even took it out. He was so embarrassed. He said, I didn't realize I was going that fast. He told the officer, he said, man, I'm sorry. He goes, look, I know it doesn't matter, but I'm a chaplain with the Murray Police Department over here in the fire department, and thinking this guy was a state trooper. He didn't know who he was. And he said, but I was going too fast. He said, I was. And I, you know, he gives him his driver's license. And he said, let me see your insurance card. He couldn't find his insurance card. He'd never been pulled over before. He didn't know. He said, it's in here somewhere, rummaging through the glove box. And I said, man, good thing you don't have, you know, something bad in this glove box while we're looking through here, too, while we're at it. I kept saying, pull out the get out free jail card and show it to him, you know. And no, he wouldn't do that. Finally, the trooper was a nice man, and he goes, you know, you're the first stop tonight, and I always let the first stop off. He goes, now I'm going to tell you this. Everybody after you is getting the ticket. But you, I'm going to let you go tonight. And he said, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And he goes, slow down. Pay attention, you know, give you the speech. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we pulled out from the curb. Mercy. So you understand mercy now? Okay. The Bible says God's the father of that. Mercy means compassion. It means pity. It means you bestow upon a person what they really don't deserve. Mercy. Now, friend, this morning, if we could leave here today and understand that, number one, we are granted the mercy of God. Everybody in this room, whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not, you have been the recipient of the mercy of God. You have been granted mercy. Titus verse 3, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, yet the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We sin against God. We do wrong with our lives, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody in this room, this preacher included, all sinners. We have sinned and violated the law of God and the word of God. And we've done that in our lives, not unknowingly, knowingly. No one sins accidentally. We say it, but the truth is we know what we're doing. God has written the law of God on our hearts, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2. And that law is a basic law of understanding of right and wrong and good and bad, and everyone has that. And yet we still do wrong, don't we? Then God sends his son Jesus, and Jesus dies for us and pays for our sins in our place, our substitute. You say, well, that's mercy, Pastor Johnson. No, that's grace. That's the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. It's grace. Mercy kicks in when God sends his son Jesus to die for us and pay for our sins. And then he doesn't make us work for it. He doesn't make us labor for it. He doesn't make us join a church to get it. He doesn't make us get baptized. He doesn't make us live a holy and perfect sinless life. He doesn't charge us for the gift of eternal life and forgiveness and salvation and a home in heaven. Mercy then is not only that it doesn't cost you anything. Mercy is then God gives you the chance to be saved. Mercy is the other side of grace. And by the way, in the Bible, as you read it, you follow it. It's almost always in the salutations at the beginning of the books of the New Testament. You always see it's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Always those two together. Always grace first, mercy second. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is the compassion of God to give you a chance to know the grace of God and forgiveness. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Hey, friend, there's nothing. Some people think, Pastor Johnson, salvation is a free gift. You people believe that. I don't believe it. I didn't make it up. The Bible teaches it. I just do what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's mercy that we don't have to work our way to heaven. Could you imagine what it would cost you to earn a home in heaven, to earn the forgiveness of God, to earn what God gives freely through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ? See, it's grace that makes it available. It's mercy that keeps the door open so you have a chance and I have a chance. That's mercy, friend. See, it's mercy that we know what salvation is, and we say no. Example, how many of you are here this morning? You're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, and you got saved the first time you heard the gospel. The very first time you heard the gospel. Would you raise your hand, please, this morning? First time. There were some folks this morning. One, two, Miss Carol, this young lady right over here, Brother Benson. Now, the rest of you this morning, if you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, would you raise your hand, please? I know Christ is my Savior. Now, look around you this morning. There was three of us today who got saved the first time. You know what the rest of us are? That's called mercy. Because you heard it the first time, and then you heard it the second time, and then you heard it the third time. That's mercy. Mercy, friend. Mercy. Oh, by the way, those who heard it the first time, that was mercy too. Because God provided salvation, gave him a chance to get saved. Trust Christ. That's mercy. God's mercy upon our lives. We are all the receivers, the recipients of this mercy. God has granted us mercy. That's why we're not in hell. That's why we won't go to hell. If you trust Christ, give his mercy. We did this, and God said, but I'll send my son Jesus. That's grace. And then I'll give him a chance to be saved. That's mercy. That's why you always see those pairs together, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. We've all been granted mercy. Number two about the mercy of God is we need to understand we've all received the mercy of God. You see, God makes salvation available to us, grace. Gives us the opportunity to be saved, mercy. We get stubborn with Him and cling to our religion and say, well, yeah, but see, I think it's... then. The fact that He doesn't just cut you off and give you another chance, mercy, mercy, mercy. In fact, we stand here in a chair, in a pew, in a row in this church on an invitation time, and in our hearts, the Spirit of God dealing with us about our salvation. We have not settled this thing. We're going to try and do it our way, and we get stubborn with God. And yet He gives us another chance, mercy. We have received mercy. It's granted, now we have received it. But wait a minute. You think the mercy of God stops after you get saved? Oh, no. Why do you think God gives us a salvation that's secure? That it's kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed the last time, the Bible says, 1 Peter 1:5. Why do you think we are the recipients of salvation without works and security without works? Well, first of all, and primarily because Jesus paid for the gift of eternal life. Not a down payment. He bought eternal life with His precious blood. And that's a gift He paid for. You receive that gift, you have eternal life. Not temporary life. Eternal life. John 3:16, John 3:36, Romans 6:23. You have the gift of eternal life. But it's eternal life. But the reason He gives you a secure salvation is also because of mercy. Wouldn't it be nice if after we got saved, trusted Christ as our Savior, we got that second blessing? what some call the eradication of the sinful flesh, where God burns out of us the sin nature and we cannot sin. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I was talking with a man one day and he said, have you received the second blessing, Pastor Johnson? I said, yes, sir. And the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one. And I'm not sure I could count them all for you this morning. I said, good night, man. I had biscuits and gravy this morning. You want to know if I had the second blessing? I got it, pal. He goes, no. He said, the blessing. Have you received the second blessing? I'd never heard of it about that at that time. I said, what in the world are you talking about? He says, eradication of the sinful flesh, where you can't sin. I said, oh, no. I said, I missed that. Where do I go to get it? Please tell me. He says, well, you get that when the fullness of the Holy Ghost comes on you. He just burns that sin nature out of it. He goes, you can't sin. I said, are you telling me you don't sin? He goes, never. I'm perfect. I said, you just sinned. Because you lied. And you know you lied. I've met two people, and I've met several people who believed in the eradication of the sinful flesh. I met two people who thought they were sinless. This older gentleman and a guy in an insane asylum. He was nuts. Out of his mind. Do you know what happens after we get saved, trust Christ, receive the gift of eternal life, and then we still sin and we do things we should not do? That is not, by the way, that is not a blanket acceptance. That's not giving anybody the approval. Well, since we sin, we go ahead and sin. No. But do you know why after you get saved, you sin, nothing happens to you immediately? I mean, imagine if God was in heaven with a big rubber mallet of justice. And every time you did wrong, boom, he lets you have it. How would you like that? Huh? Some of us, they could bury us in a shoebox. We get hammered so many times in our lives. Do you know why nothing happens often immediately? Mercy. You know why we sit in church and we listen to the Bible preached and there's things in our lives that are not right and we sit there and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And we get up and go out and the car starts and we go home and the house didn't burn down and we get up tomorrow and we go to work and there's health in our bodies and strength in our lives and money in the bank account and we do it our own way but nothing happens. Do you know what that is? You ain't lucky, friend. You are the recipient of the mercy of God. That's mercy. United States of America is under the banner of mercy today. We're doing everything we can to shake our fist in the face of Almighty God. Defy His word. Defy the sanctity of life. Defy the sanctity of holiness. Defy the sanctity of godliness. We're doing everything we can as a nation to bring the hand of God down upon this nation. And there's foolish people in this country who think that that's nothing but toleration. It's not toleration. It's mercy. The other side of that mercy is a judge, a righteous God who, if he doesn't do something to America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Why don't we get it, ladies and gentlemen? No great empire, nation, or kingdom has ever done what America does now and survived that without the hand of God coming down on us. Well, I didn't come here to hear that, Pastor Johnson. You need to listen this morning. America's not lucky. America's not great because America's great. America's great because America's under the hand of the mercy of God today. But see, now if we take it out of the national thing and just bring it right down to your chair this morning and my life. The reason there are things in our life that are not right and something hasn't stepped in. God's hand hasn't come against us. It's because of mercy. Is he putting up with us? No. Is he allowing us to do wrong? Absolutely not. Listen now, don't ever forget, we're talking about a holy God, a righteous God, a pure God. The Bible says he hates sin. Doesn't hate sinners, but he hates sin. We are given a window and the opportunity to repent and to come to God and do right. And until we do, it's mercy that keeps the window open and the door cracked and the opportunity for you to turn this thing around in your life. Friend, it's about mercy. You understand? It's mercy. We have been granted mercy to be saved. We are the recipients of mercy for our daily lives. You needed mercy this week. I guarantee you did. I did. had this prayer revival and just some fasting and praying this week. And no television, no video, stuff, nothing. Just get alone with the Lord and pray. Got together in groups of 2 and 3 and 4 and 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 people. Gathered together for prayer every night this week. Came together, hit the church. Great prayer service on Wednesday night. Knelt together and prayed. But from last Sunday to this Sunday, this preacher needed mercy in his life. And I didn't have to ask for it. God just looked down and said, what in the world is he? Mercy. Mercy. I grant mercy. Convict, told the Spirit of God. Convict, grant mercy. Mercy. Now that's what it is. So don't ever think like God's so busy in heaven he can't keep up with 6.2 billion people and know what's going on. If he's not a big enough God to do that, we don't have a very big God. The Bible says he notes the hair in your head, notes the sparrow when it falls. He pays particular attention. He's very concerned about every need of our lives. And if you're his child, my friend, don't you know he cares about you and watches over you? And when he sees us do our own thing, cut our own path, live our own way, do what we want to do, convicts us and we say, no, I'm not going to do that, mercy. Well, as long as I get mercy, I can just keep doing that. Well, please understand. The Bible does say in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23 that his mercies are new every morning. His compassions are fail not. Every morning God refreshes and restores his mercy for us. But we also know that by the same authority of the same book, there comes a time where the mercy of God will not supersede the righteousness and the holiness of God. His greatest attribute is his holiness. And there comes a time when God says, that's enough of that. And God withdraws his mercy. His love is unlimited, but not his mercy. Pastor Johnson, you're trying to intimidate me this morning. You're trying to make me feel bad about my life. No, the Spirit of God is trying to tell you that you're doing despite to the Spirit of grace and that you're messing around with the mercy of God. And this preacher's trying to help you this morning. Ten years I spent out of the will of God from the time I was 12 until I was 22. That 10-year period of time, on at least three different occasions, I was in situations where I should have been killed. There were so many different times where things could have happened in my life that would have prevented me from being the pastor of this church, that would have altered and affected the will of God for my life. Well, you just didn't know, Pastor Johnson. There was a lot of things I didn't know, but I knew better than some of the stuff I was doing. I knew that. Say, well, you got by, you were lucky. Lucky my foot. This preacher was a recipient of the mercy of God. Hot August night of 1975, I wept my way back to God. I didn't get saved again. You only get born again once, my friend. But I got right with God. I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ on that hot August night of 1975. And when the sun came up that morning, for the first time in 10 years, I was right with God. For the first time in 10 years, there was nothing between my soul and my Savior. For the first time in 10 years, there was no pressing of my spirit to let me know I wasn't right with the Lord. I needed to get it right. Oh, I woke that morning, the dawn of God came up in my soul. And it broke my heart. I think I had been doing despite to the Spirit of grace, walking on the love of God, and I was a recipient of the mercy of God and didn't even realize it. That's what we are today. You listen to me. My dear friend, if you know there's something in your life that's not right, if you know there's something the Spirit of God has been dealing with you about and you have not stepped up to that, don't keep messing around with the mercy of God. Love unlimited, patience incredible, but no infinite mercy. And of course, obviously, God's mercy can be ignored. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. God's always pressing us about that surrender to God principle once you're saved. Yield yourself to the Lord. Why not? Why? Because that's what he paid for. He didn't just give you salvation so you could go to heaven. He gave you salvation so you could have a new life, and he wants to make you a very good one. But why do we keep resisting that yield principle to the Lord? By the mercies of God. Don't ignore it. Realize that the mercy of God, I'm an incredible recipient of mercy. Don't ignore the mercy of God. Don't feel like, well, you know what? It's been going along okay. Everything's just the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. No, friend, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it's going to be. Please don't ignore the mercy of God. So let's change our terminology. Let's stop talking about how lucky we've been, how, oh boy, we just missed that, how the things just didn't, well, I dodged a bullet there. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I'm standing face to face with a young man one night in an eating establishment in a place when I was overseas in the service. And he threw a bottle at my head. And we are just about this distance apart. He threw that bottle at my head. I turned my head and saw the glint of it go past my head. It flew across the room. And over here where Brother Wallen is. Brother Wallen, raise your hand, would you please? Hit a man in the head and split his head open. They carried him out on a stretcher. That would have killed me. You think I was lucky? No, no, no. Mercy. You think for 5 seconds, ladies and gentlemen, we can go on and ignore the mercy of God? No. Well, I know, but God will just have to understand. No, he's not a real understanding God about things when he knows that we know what we're supposed to do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Mercy. Don't ignore the mercy of God, friend. Lastly, God's mercy is to be given. It's in those Beatitudes in Matthew. Blessed are the, well, there's one in Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want to guarantee yourself an unending source of mercy in your life? Give it. Some of us have forgotten what God saved us from. Yes? Remember that passage in 1 Corinthians that ends with, and such were some of you? We're all in that list there, yes? Some of us have forgotten what God has saved us from. Some of us have forgotten how much mercy we have received in our life. Yes? And then somebody crosses us, we write them off, that's the end of it. You have not only, listen, you've not only done disrespect to the truth of God's word, friend, you just cut yourself off from the mercy of God. If you won't grant mercy, you don't get it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Obtain means to purchase. You're buying for yourself the right of mercy. So then I have to put up with the wrong that people do. God doesn't do that. But how about a little compassion? How about a little understanding? How about a little bit of tenderness in the heart instead of the holy righteous hand of our godliness down upon their wicked carcass? How about that junk? How about the fact that somebody does us, we do God wrong over and over again. We wrong the Almighty God of heaven over and over again. Somebody does one thing to us and we cut them off. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See, now listen, if you have been the recipient of God's mercy, and you have, and you've appreciated it, and you thank God that you have, then when somebody does something they shouldn't do, we don't condone the wrong. We don't tolerate it. We don't accept it. But how about along with, friend, don't do that, is a little mercy attached to the truth. See, often, ladies and gentlemen, it's not our position that causes people problems. It's our disposition. So you're being pretty frank this morning in your preaching. I never use pulpit tactics in personal dealings. Or rarely, I should say. Occasionally, some folks get a one-on-one sermon, but not often. Every time I think, boy, I tell you what, I've just about had it with this person. I think, how long was it, Johnson? 10 years. 10 years. 10 years, and on a hot August night, he let you come back. God, give me grace to be merciful. Please. Mercy. God's loving mercy. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Would you, heads bowed and eyes closed?